Good morning. What's today? What do we do when we hear, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"?
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
You guys thought that was just for the kids. Oh, you were mistaken. Okay, we are going to get started on our message this morning. But before we get started with that, I want to ask a question and I want some answers. This is not a rhetorical question. Do you know someone who has sacrificed for you? Just raise your hand. Do you know somebody who has sacrificed for you? All right, and what are some of the things that they did to sacrifice? How did they sacrifice? Time and money, okay? What else? I saw a bunch of hands go up and I hear no answers. What did they do? All right, let's try this one more time. Does anybody know anybody who sacrificed to help them or another person? Yes, I see hands. Oh, now there's so much fewer hands now. Huh. Okay. What did they do? Okay. That was a sacrifice, yes. What else? What's that? So did yours? Okay, well, 2 for 2. Great. I have quite a bit of time, about a half an hour, so. What are some other things that people have done to sacrifice for others? Yes, Allie. Jesus died on the cross. That's very true. We're going to talk about that. Who are some people that you know that have sacrificed? What's that? Buy food? Yeah. What else? Our troops. Yes. Emergency responders, absolutely. Who else?
Military.
Yep, military sacrifice, their time, sometimes your pastor. Okay, good. Who else? Your parents. Anybody got those? Yeah? Do parents sacrifice? One of my favorite pictures is a father who's is standing in front of his son. And his son is a silhouette of the father and the son. And the son has one little square that's empty. And the father is taking this square and putting it on the son to complete him. And then you look at the father and he's full of holes, right? And he was giving of himself to complete his son. And that is so true, that fathers do, and mothers, parents, they sacrifice a lot for their children. That is very true. Who else do you know that has sacrificed something for somebody? Melody? That's right, Jesus. Who else? How about a teacher? Does teachers sacrifice for their students? Do they buy stuff that they don't get paid back for? Yeah, a lot of times, right? Do they spend time that maybe they're not getting reimbursed for? Yeah, they do. Teachers, they sacrifice. Who else? What? The Navy? Yeah, absolutely. Who else? Nobody else sacrifices? Our government? How so? They sacrifice our money. Oh, that is so true, unfortunately. Yeah, you know, I prayed with our police officers, and, you know, our police officers, a lot of times go, you know, just like our emergency responders, you know, they go into danger on our behalf, and they risk themselves. The reason I wanted to do this, and the reason I kind of prolonged it a little bit, is because I want us to think that sacrifice is not just something that Jesus does. It's something that we all do, right? When we see a need and we help to fulfill it, we all do that. We all have love for others. And because we love other people, we want to meet their needs. And I think a lot of times, we don't even think of it as a sacrifice, right? When we help somebody else out, we feel great doing it, right? You might take a meal over to a neighbor who, you know, maybe they had an accident, or maybe they, you know, are having a tough time. Maybe you send cookies. You know, I've been seeing some pictures on Facebook of treats that some of the people in our church have been making, and I'm sure that they share those with people, right? And they sacrifice, they spend their time, their energy, and their money to make something, and then they give it away. And we often don't even think of it as a sacrifice, right? Parents, moms make meals. Dads make meals for their kids and their family. Is that a sacrifice? We don't even think about that a lot of times. We just think, oh, well, it's time to cook, time to eat. But when you get to go out to eat, we went out to eat on Friday for Sarah's birthday, and we left a little tip at Pizza Ranch, and we were talking about, why are we leaving a tip at Pizza Ranch? It's a buffet. And I said, well, because we don't have to do the dishes, right? And that is worth a few dollars, just not having to do the dishes. And so a lot of times we do a lot of things and we don't think of it as a sacrifice. Why? It's because we love to do those things. We really love to do those things. You know, a mother serves her children out of love, not out of spite, not out of, oh my goodness, I got to do the laundry again today. No, it's like, oh hey, my kids, they need fresh clothes. And they do it out of love. And so I want us to understand that sacrifice is the greatest form of love. Does anybody remember what our definition of love is? We've talked about it a couple of times. Love is believing the very best for someone and being willing to sacrifice to help them accomplish their best. And so sometimes we sacrifice to help them. And that is the greatest form of love. And that is how Christ loves us. And Scripture says that He loves us ultimately because He gave His life for us. And there's two things in John that we're going to look at real quickly. First one is John 10:11. But before we do that, what's today, Palm Sunday?
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
All right, good job. Okay, our first verse is John 10:11. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is the ultimate shepherd because he loves us as a shepherd, and he gave the ultimate gift, which was his life. Now, what does a shepherd do? He watches for the sheep. That's right. He's an overseer. He's a manager. He's a protector. He's a guide, right? He does all of those things for the sheep. Why do sheep need somebody to watch them, protect them, guide them, direct them? Say it, Nikki, out loud.
Because they're stupid.
Because they're stupid, right? The sheep are stupid, and so they need a good shepherd. And guess what? You need a good shepherd. right? And Jesus loves you. We talked about that a few weeks ago, how Jesus loves you. He loves you, and he provided you an example. He loves you in the good times, and he loves you in the bad times. When you're making mistakes, when you're disobeying him, he still loves you. He loves you enough to correct you, right? He loves you enough to correct you. And Jesus is not only the ultimate shepherd, but he's also the ultimate friend. John 15:13 says, is our slides not working? John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus is not only the ultimate shepherd, but he is also the ultimate friend, because he was willing to give the ultimate sacrifice as a friend. Jesus loves you. He knows all of you. And he loves you. Think about that for a minute. You know, we come to church, we put on our good clothes, put on a smile, right? We say, hey, I'm here. Love me, like me, talk to me. But Jesus, he knows when you go home. He knows what you do in the dark. He knows what you do in the secret. He knows that he sees the times where you do things you know you ought not to. And even though he knows all of those things about you, he still loves you. And I want you to understand just how much he loves you. He proved that you are worthy. Now, I know some of you, maybe all of you, have sometimes doubts about yourself. I'm not worthy of love. I'm not worthy of forgiveness. And because we believe that ourselves, we hide our mistakes. We hide behind a fake wall. We put on a facade. I'm a good person. I'm kind. Because we think, well, if people really knew who I was, they wouldn't love me. Because I'm not worthy of that kind of love. And Jesus proved that you are worthy. He loves you, the person who's made all those mistakes. And he proved it. Because he is the ultimate friend. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And he did that for you. Some of you don't even like yourself. To die for a friend? That seems crazy. But I want to just take a second and think about this for a second. Jesus didn't just die for the friends that are good. Jesus didn't just die for the friends that were walking around with him. I want us to take a little bit deeper look at this Palm Sunday story. Luke 19:28-24 says, when he had said this, we read Mark this morning with the children's story. This one is the story in Luke. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass that when he drew near Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied to which no one has ever sat. Loose it, bring it here, and if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. And so those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And then, as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that had been saying.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called out to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent," meaning the disciples, "the stones would immediately cry out." And now as he drew near, the city, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you in you, one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Now just think about what's going on here. Jesus is walking down. He's being worshipped. He's being praised. He's being called Lord, right? They're wanting to make him a king. What do you think Jesus' attitude should be? He should be excited. He should be happy. He should be like, rah, rah, yeah, thank you, right? Taking a bow. But what is his attitude? Sorrow. Why is he sad? Because he knows what these people are doing. He knows that today they're worshiping him, but in 6 days they're going to crucify him. And he knows what's coming after that. Their destruction. It says he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it. How would you feel if somebody that you loved rejected you? Somebody that you cared for just spit in your face? Why do you think Jesus cried? What I want us to realize is that Christ's love isn't unlike our love. We've been rejected. We've sacrificed. We've helped other people. What do when they do that to us? We get angry. We get bitter. We get hateful, resentful. Those are the natural feelings that we have when people reject us. What was Christ's attitude when he was looking at these people who were about to reject him? It wasn't anger. It wasn't bitterness. It wasn't resentfulness. It was just sadness. He knew what they were missing out on. He said, "If you had only known." You know, I know that feeling as a father. I know that feeling as a father where maybe you plan something wonderful for your children and you want to do this for them and you say, "Hey, if you do this, I'll do this." And you desire to pour out blessing, but what do? They disobey. And so you have to withhold the blessing, that thing that you desired so greatly to give them. And that's where Jesus was. But it was for those people he went to the cross. It was for those people that he died. Even while they were crucifying him and yelling for him to be crucified, it was for those people that he died, that he sacrificed himself. And then he gives us this command. He says that we should love others like he does. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love." What is love? Well, let me tell you. Because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to think about. But how should we think about that? What does it even mean to lay down your life for your brethren? One way we know about that is the military, right? We have great respect for people who serve in the military because we know that they are willing, just by their being in the military, to go and lay down their life for their brethren, for their country. But I want you to think of another way of living your life. And we'll see this here in John's account of this story. John's account is in John chapter 12. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, and there they made him supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of oil, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, but he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone, for she has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have always with you, but me you shall not always have." And then it talks about the plot to kill Lazarus, because the Jews were upset that Lazarus had raised from the dead. And it says, "The next day a great multitude had come to the feast when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him and cried out." We've got to work on our timing here.
"Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things. And therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, they bore witness. And for this reason, the people also met him, because they had heard that he had done this sign. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing? Look, the whole world has gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among those who came to worship the feast. And then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies and it produces much grain, he who loves, and he's telling us what does this mean, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying that living for self is vanity. Living for self is vanity. How would it feel to live your life entirely for yourself and reach the end of your life? Maybe you've accomplished great wealth. Who's it going to be given to? He who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What does that mean to hate your life? Well, what did Paul say? The things that I thought were important, my family name, my reputation, my standing, my religious standing, what did he count all of those things as? Garbage, right? I don't care about any of that. Matter of fact, it's garbage to me. This is what Jesus is talking about. If you're consumed with getting and self, you're wasting your life. But if you will say, you know what, I don't care about any of that stuff, I want to serve Jesus, then you will not only keep your life, but you will receive eternal life. It's dying for others that will bring life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant also will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. We should love like Christ loves. Christ also, that was John chapter 12, just a few chapters later in John chapter 15, Jesus says that we are his friends if we love one another's, right? So he said, I am your friend because I am dying for you. I'm giving my life for you, the ultimate sacrifice. As your friend, I call you my friend. And if you will live for me and love others, then you are my friend. Verses 12 through 17 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, right? He is Lord. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. We are Jesus' friend if we love one another. What does that mean? Well, it means like what Paul said, right? I am pouring out my life for you, for the churches, to help people grow in their faith. That is what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to pour out, dedicate, sacrifice, help, love. We've talked about before, right? That Jesus' love is not just an action, it's a way of life. And he's nudging us, he's encouraging us, he's calling us to walk in that way. And that's how we love other people, is to nudge them, help them, encourage them to go in that same way. We sacrifice. Paul says that we are given the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people to right relationship with God. But you might say, well, you know, it's easy to love your kids. Sometimes it's easy to love your spouse. Not often, but sometimes. It's really hard to love your siblings. It's hard to love your neighbors. But people I don't like, people that have hurt me, who would you die for? Who would you give your life for? When I was in our home, I read this verse, Romans 5:7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. Right? There are people who sign up to serve to protect the president. Right? They're the president's detail. And whenever somebody attacks the president, their job is to stand in the way, to take the bullet. I asked the kids at our home, who would you be willing to die for? Who would die for the president? Some of them raised their hands. Of course, that was when Trump was president, but you know. I asked them, who would die for their best friend? Who would die for the Pope? Right? Who would die for their pastor? I got one. Okay, in the back. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, it's scarce that somebody would die. But some would dare to die, right? We have firefighters that would dare to die to protect people. Not that they want to die, but they would run into a burning building trying to protect people, trying to save them. But what does it say about Jesus? Romans 5:8. For scarcely for a righteous man will some die. I'm sorry, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were living in sin, while we were broken, while we were apart from God, Jesus died. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So then I asked these kids at our home, I said, let me ask you this. What if there's a pimp in Chicago? And he's got girls that he sells for sex. Would you die for him? Not a single person said yes. Matter of fact, they said, there's no way I would die for him. That's how we feel. But Jesus says, I will die and give my love. It's available to anyone. There's no one who's done something that is unworthy of my love. As a matter of fact, when he was getting ready to go to the cross, Peter stopped him. And he said, this is the purpose for which I came. But in John 12, it says just a little bit differently, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it. I want you to see that, yes, Christ's death was the worst tragedy in human history. But it wasn't because he didn't want to do it. He was willing. As a matter of fact, he knew this was the very purpose for which he came. And he did it out of love for you. And the last thing I want to ask you as we close is, do you know Christ's love? Do you know Christ's love? You might say, well, that's kind of an odd question. Of course, everybody knows Christ's love. I was listening to a Tony Robbins seminar this weekend. And one of the things that he kept saying was, you don't know something unless you're doing it. You don't know something unless you're doing it. You might understand it, but you don't know it unless you're doing it. Well, in 1 John chapter 4, it says, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So God has demonstrated it, and we have understood it. We have heard about it. We believed it. We confessed it. Right? And here's the next step. 1 John 2, 1 through 6. We've read this before. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says that he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. How do we know if we love God? We go in that way, right? That way that he has provided for us to walk in. The way of love, the way of grace, the way of humility, the way of joy, the way of peace. If anyone says, yeah, I know Jesus, I love Jesus, but I'm over here doing my own thing. And Jesus is happy with that, right? I'm living this lifestyle that is, you know, totally disobeying what he told me to do. But that's okay, because, you know, Jesus just, he loves everybody. He's happy with everybody. Who are they lying to? James says they're just deceiving them own selves. John says they are a liar. Now, does that mean that we have to do good things in order to earn our salvation? Not at all. There's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. Salvation is a gift that God gives to us. But if we want to walk in love, we must walk in obedience to Christ. My little children, I write these things to you that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate. Right? If we make a mistake, hey, that's okay. We have somebody up in heaven, Jesus. He will forgive us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But how do we know? How can we have assurance that Jesus is ours? Is we walk in his commandments. What are his commandments? Love, right? Walk in love. Is that an easy thing to do? Not in our own power, but with the Holy Spirit As Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you know us. Lord, as we look forward to Monday, Thursday, on Thursday night, where we'll take communion together, celebrating the Last Supper, we look forward to the cross on Friday, which you will go to on our behalf. You will take your sin, take the sin of the world upon yourself, and you will endure not just the pain of dying, but the pain of sin, the eternal weight of sin. You will take it upon yourself and you will destroy it. And Lord, and then Sunday, next Sunday, where we will celebrate your resurrection, your victory. But Lord, here on Palm Sunday, where these people come together to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And Lord, we see your response. Sadness. Because you know they don't really mean it. They're just saying it, they don't really mean it. And Lord, I know that at times I have come into this place and have sang songs, saying, Lord, Lord. But then when I left here, I wasn't really living the way you wanted me to live. I wasn't sacrificing for others. I was just living for myself and my own pleasure. I wasn't kind. And Lord, it didn't feel very good either. And so I can relate with those people. But your love, you love them still. You still went to the cross, even though they rejected you. You still went to the cross, even though I've rejected you. Because you love me. And you proved that I am worthy of your love. Not because of what I've done, because of what I've done is not worthy of your love. But because of who you made me to be. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to live, to be the person you created us to be. To lay down our desires, our self-seeking, and to live for you. To sacrifice, to love, to help. Lord, I pray that that would be who we are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.